This meeting is being recorded.
Young fish. What's cracking? What's cracking? We cracking. We cracking. We dipping. We diving. We sliding. We slapping. Hockey in Seattle, boy. We all about the action. Release the show. Release the show.
What's up, Ryan?
Yo, what's going on?
What's up, man? Kraken season, baby.
Brett, do we need a training camp? We're pressing all the buttons and it's not working right. I mean,
was I out of order?
We probably should have a train. No, we got it the third time, but we probably should have had a training camp.
Dude, ripping me already? You're in mid-season form already, bro.
Let's go.
Welcome back, everybody. It's your favorite Seattle Kraken podcast. Me and Ryan hanging out. Producer Katie's over there. Our guy Chris. I mean, he has a real job now. Everybody, let's be honest. Chris got himself a big boy job. Ryan,
what's that like?
I don't know. I've never had one. Oh man, but we love him, and he'll be here from time to time when he can be, with plenty of opinion from. You know, that bald head of his. Oh, he's going to be so mad at me for that, by the way.
When he's off, or any of us off, we should have to send in like a 30-second rant that we could just play on the show.
Oh, that's good.
So just get his thoughts. 30 seconds, just call in, and we'll do it really quick.
Yeah.
We can't let him off that easy.
Yeah, I like that. His whole rant's going to be about me with the bald comment, though. That's two, by the way. Uh-oh. I could feel the text.
There we go.
I could feel the text chain popping off already when this episode comes out. Oh, man.
It's just all him.
Dude, what is going on with our team right now, man? We're four games in. We're 2-2 sort of winning in the shootout there with the Wild. Should I be excited? Should I not be excited? Why are people not really that excited? What's going on?
That's funny because before the home opener, I felt this energy of this year is going to be different. There was, you just felt it around town. And I don't know if it was because they had the 5K walk and they had the different blow ups around town and the bobbleheads. And I don't know if that was manufactured hype, but it felt different around Seattle that this year is going to be something different. And then you get into the game and the first period was okay. I'm talking the home opener.
The home opener.
Kraken.
You mean the home opener on Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon?
Yes, that was very weird too.
Thank you, NHL.
They're playing. ESPN was playing three games that day, and so I get they're trying to cram it all in. But why were we normally we'd be the last game, but I think they wanted to highlight the new Utah team, and that's why we got stuck with the afternoon game on a Tuesday.
Well, I don't understand that at all. I mean, I understand what you just said logically, but it still doesn't make any sense from an entertainment product standpoint. Oh. And this is why the NHL is the NHL and will always be the NHL.
Yeah.
Because, brother, you and I were both in Seattle. And I got to tell you, from my point of view, I didn't know there was a Kraken game that day at all, other than seeing the local news report on some of the events that you talked about, but I didn't hear people to people talking about, hey, there's a game on Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon.
So we left early. There was a crash right at the express lanes at Mercer Street.
Yeah.
So that blocked traffic on I-5.
Ugh.
I took 99 down. We also had the, there goes my logo. There it goes.
Yes. Yes. Who had it falling
that
far in?
Show one.
Let's see. Katie had it. You had it at like 3 minutes. I think you might be the closest.
Yeah.
I said 8, so I probably went over. Dang it. Katie
wins. I need more command strips.
Sponsor.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Either way, there's a lot of traffic and it didn't make sense. And it took us an hour and a half to get to Seattle anyways. And then we get there, they do the blue carpet.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a lot of manufactured hype, but it really felt different heading into the home opener.
Yeah.
And everybody was leaning on, are we going to do a captain? Are we doing this and that? And so once the game got going, the first period was okay. The second period, we score a couple goals, and then we give a couple right back. And from then on, it just felt like kind of same old Kraken, which was unfortunate. Overall, it was a fun day. And then they turn around and go on a 3-game road trip, which is also weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to build hype in the city, right? I mean, and I know it's the schedule makers, but anyway. Dude, what is with Seattle teams in home openers, you guys? Any of you have any ideas out there? It seems like my whole life, if you're a Seattle fan, your team is either going to lose the opener or play in a sort of way that doesn't really excite you for the rest of the season. That's like the Seahawk way. It's like they beat the Broncos week one, but, you know, it was kind of like, ah, all right, cool. We beat Bo Nix. We did that. Yeah, we did that, right? Yeah, we did that. You know?
Yeah, well,
shut up. The Kraken, I mean, dude, how many times has Mike Trout come in with the Angels and hit a leadoff home run against the Mariners in game one opening day, you know?
The thing with the Mariners, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off. The thing
are now,
with the Mariners is,
by the way, stat, the Kraken are now 0-4 opening 0-4. Days. And that's never happened or hasn't happened since like the 1930s in the NHL. So I'm on to something here.
That was going to be Chris's stat. I was going to steal that from him. yeah, I mean we've never won a home opener.
No.
And I was thinking about this. The Mariners have been so bad for so long that they've had to rely on the pomp and circumstance of a home. I love a home opener. I love a laser show. The Kraken added lasers to their pregame show this year. I mean,
it's sick.
That part was really exciting, and then we rely on that for the hype and not the actual play on the ice or the play on the field or whatever it is. So I don't know if it's just they're falling into the Seattle trap. I really don't want them to be. I really want this team to be different.
Are you calling for Coach Dan's job already?
No.
Is that what you're saying? Are you saying he didn't have them ready to play this season? You're already putting him on the hot seat, Ryan, of release the show?
I think he's actually doing a pretty damn good job to start off this team and his tenure here with the Kraken. But I'll tell you this. I'm done with the losing. I'm done with the, oh, we tried and we got a response goal and nothing came back. I really need this team, and we should – demand this team. We need to elevate it. We need to be better than this. We've 4 years now, we need to get on hot streaks. We need to start taking care of business, and we need to be one of those upper level teams, or else we're gonna have another year just like last year and the year before, where it's just like, no, all right, we did it. It's cool. We're in the league. I'm tired of that.
Okay, but now this. Okay, but now we all got to look in the mirror as Seattle fans, though. Because, you know, there was a time where we went a little hot as Seattle fans, you know, some of us still run a little hot, you know. You get into some dark circles on Twitter of Seattle sports fandom, Ryan, and there's some very dark fans out there that just, they hate everything. Sure. And everything sucks all the time, right? And so those fans are battled by these very, very positive Seattle sports fans also, right? That kind of just say, with all these teams, no matter what the team is, well, it's early. Yeah, we're 2-2. We're doing pretty good. You know, we got a new coach. Let's give him some time. Let's be positive. The jerseys are great. You know, this is not just the Kraken, by the way. This is Seahawks fans, Mariners fans. Look at those throwback jerseys. Pretty great, though, right?
What about new the City coach. Connect?
It's a new coach. Yeah, right? Look, give him some time. You know, Julio's only been here 4 seasons. You know? You know, Maddie, it's only been 4 seasons. You know, come on, like, so where do we fall, man? And where do you guys fall out there? Because is it the sky is falling 4 games in already? It shouldn't be completely, right? You have to be a bit realistic. But at the same time, we see what our eyes tell us. But our eyes tell us that they just beat the Predators 7-3.
They did.
Right?
So let's take a step back here. So I think this team is better than they are, and they've showed it in these glimpses. Now, if you listen to Coach Dan and you listen to some of the guys, they're still trying to find their identity. Their identity this year is going to be fast and hard and take care of business. And you saw that in the Predator game where they started right off the bat, got a couple quick goals. They kept on the gas. They let a couple goals back in. Okay, great. That's going to happen. Joey is the kind of goalie that's going to give up a goal and it's not going to phase him. He's going to get his head back in the game. Give your head a shake is what we say, right? So you do that and they turn around, they score more goals and they didn't let off the gas all the way to the end of the game. That is the identity that this team wants to form. That's going to take a minute to form, right? With these guys, they got new players, obviously the new coaching staff. I really think the trip to Nashville, so they flew after the game from Dallas and went right to Nashville, had Monday off, practiced in Nashville, and then they had the afternoon off in Nashville. Obviously, they have a game the next day. They're not going to go too crazy, but those moments, especially early on in the season, and you can go to a town like Nashville, I'm assuming they probably rented or reserved the back end of a bar somewhere, and they just had a get with your line mates, hang out. Your line mates, your brand new players, your brand new line mates that you're trying to get used to each other. The three of you are going to be walking Nashville. The three of you are going to be going to dinner. Like, you guys are going to get used to each other. So that trip with the loss at home followed up by a win, which loss Grubauer, win Decord. Then you turn around and you go loss again. So I really hate response goals. It was never a term growing up. I don't know where that came from. That's the new buzz term. Get a response, like, so response goals. We give up a goal and then we turn around and score right back. That's a response goal. Like, that's yeah. All I'm saying is we've had response wins after loss, win, loss, win. So this team is turning around and saying, all right, that was a bad loss. We're not going to lose two games in a row. Let's get the next one. And so right now I think we're on the right track.
Wait, why do you hate response goal, though? Because it's a mindset thing for you, or you're an old school get off my lawn hockey kind of guy? What's up?
I'm old school. It was just, I don't know. I just don't like relying on, like, oh, we gave up a goal. Okay. And now we need a response goal back. Like, no, we need to not let in the goal in the first place. Like, what was the play breakdown that let in that goal? And it seems like in pre-Dan era,
Coach Dan or Captain Dan? Coach, it's getting confusing.
Both. 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 In pre-Coach Dan and pre-Dan, Captain Dan era, it was these guys that we let in this goal, and then we did the same thing the next period or the same thing the next play. We don't need a response goal. We need to shut it down right then and there. And what's the symptom that we're letting in these goals?
If
it does show a lot about a team to come back.
If Daniel Sprong came back and was Captain Jordan Eberle's assistant, he could be Lieutenant Dan.
Okay. We need to get like just the Dan line, like all starting Dans.
Katie laughed.
Start trading players.
Oh, man. Listen,
what?
Can you see any bit of a difference now that Coach Dan and the new coaching staff is here? And what is that difference? I mean, you said fast and hard, but I mean, is that something that's coming from the coaches, or is that just the players that they have now?
I think that was in the talks when Dan was being hired, him and his coaching staff from Coachella. What do you want this team to see? How do you want to form this team? What players do you want us to go out and get? I want to be fast. I want to be, I think the word he used was cohesiveness. Right. They want to be a unit. They want to work together,
yeah,
and they want to compete. So, I mean, it's kind of two different, let's go back to Holmgren and then go back to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll always compete. This is the Pete Carroll. He always compete.
Okay.
Earn your spot, earn the next job. They've switched lines from the home opener to the second game. They've already switched lines, and then they switched them back saying, all right, that didn't work. Let's get this figured out early. Right. And they started to click last game. And you saw that with right from the fourth line started the game in Nashville, and the fourth line, Tanev got a goal. Like, they are starting to do these things where that's not going to work. Let's put this piece here. Let's compete for our jobs. Let's earn that next spot. And I think that is something that you're going to see translate back on the ice. I think the practices have been hard. They've been on there's purpose to the practice. There's these games within the game or within the practice that really makes each other compete for the puck. Small games in the corner, breakouts, stuff like that. And I think you see the new coaching staff. I mean, the Kraken 5K, Coach Dan was running with everybody, with the fans, with, you know, they had players out there. So you would never see that from Hextall. You never would. You never really heard from him. He was just kind of there. And Dan's putting himself out there. And I thought it was after the home opener, when they went to interview the coach at the end, they always interview the coach very last. They also interviewed Eberle at the same time, both of them together, and they are a unit. This is how we want to shape this team. So, I like I said, I think everything is heading north, and that's a good place to be on, you know, four games in.
The coach, the Dan Band.
Dan Band.
Every
wasn't
time,
that, wasn't
every
that from
time.
Old school?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, are they in old school? Old school, but also, no, Wedding Crashers, too, right?
Oh, it is Wedding
Crashers. Or Step Brothers? No. The Hangover. The Hangover.
No.
The Hangover. They're the Wedding Band in
the hangover,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then
yeah.
They are also in Wedding Crashers, I think. Can you look that up, producer Katie?
I've seen Wedding Crashers like 50 times. I'm not sure.
So I'll take you to the candy shop. Right? Yeah. Anytime that they're interviewed together, Ryan, you have to be tweeting that the Dan Band is together and giving it. You know
that.
What I mean? Let's make that a thing.
Yep.
Okay.
I love it. That's great.
Producer Katie, some info?
Old school.
Ah.
Singing Total Eclipse of the Heart and Lady. They're also in The Terminal.
Okay.
And Starsky and Hutch. Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch, yeah. But then what about not The Hangover? They're in another movie.
I thought they were in The Hangover.
Because he sings The Candy Shop. The
Hangover, yes.
50 Cent song?
Yes.
Isn't that 50 Cent?
Keep scrolling.
Is that 50?
Kept scrolling, yeah. Yep.
50, yes.
All right. Yeah, the Dan right. Band. All right. For a million dollars, before we get off the Dan Band, what is Coach Dan's full name?
Now you put me on the spot.
Yep.
I keep butchering it.
Come on, just launch into it. What do you got?
So I spelled it phonetically so I wouldn't mess it up, and then I can't read my phonetic spelling.
Come on, $1 million. 3, 2.
I can't even do it now.
Come on, you're not even going to attempt it?
It's going to be so bad.
Right, $1 million. You're not going to take an attempt?
Blama.
Bilesma.
So,
Bilesma. Bilesma.
I forgot the S.
Coach Dan Bilesma.
There's just a few words I can't get, and that will be halfway through the year. That'll finally click.
Katie, how much would you pay to see like Coach walking streaking down a hallway and Ryan trying to run behind him to ask a question, just like Coach Buka, Coach B,
Coach B.
What do the players call him? Do you know? They call him anything interesting?
No, just call Dan, call Coach. Dan. Yeah. Right. Hockey players have always had like first name sort of bases with their coach. Like,
right. Like
I had a coach Gordon Whitaker, and he was Gord, right? So he's just Dan or whatever that nickname is that you know we probably don't know yet.
Gotcha.
So the problem was someone said it to me a couple of years ago and it was wrong, and that is what's been stuck in my head. And I can't,
yeah, yeah,
I can't
yeah,
get
yeah.
out from
excuses,
under it.
Yeah, excuses. Yeah. What do you think they call Coach Jessica Campbell?
I think you just call her Jess.
Coach Jess?
Or Coach Campbell?
How many of the goals in Nashville is Coach Jessica Campbell responsible for?
I mean, a lot of the work that she does, you're going to see at practice, right? You're going to see those systems being done in practice, but there's a really good shot from the home opener where it was overtime and she had everybody gather around. She was drawing up a play. So you're going to make those in-game period tweaks, right? And you're going to see these. She's going to be looking for holes in their defense that they can exploit. And that's what, you know, you come in, you draw something up. So she's in charge of the forwards. So you're going to draw something up for the forwards, and then you're going to execute it. Hockey is not like football where you can just say, hey, here's a play. You know, minus the uh, the random times at the end of the game where you pull a goalie and you can actually draw up a play off the faceoff, but you're drawing up three plays, your win play, your if you lose that faceoff play, and then, you know, if you guys are crashing and going towards the net. So when you're drawing up one, you're actually drawing up two or three plays.
I get it. Yeah. I watched Charlie Conway draw up plays in D2. When he was sitting out, giving Banks his spot back. I saw the whole thing, man. He's had the whiteboard out. I saw the movie. I get it.
The thing I like about this coaching staff is the players that are coming up from Coachella Valley, they've been with them for years now. They know the play. They know the system. They're comfortable with these guys. And they're smart hockey people. Jessica is a smart hockey person, right?
I'm sure she wouldn't get the job otherwise. That's the whole point.
You want these kind of guys on the ice, and instead of more of a coach, they're more of teachers, right? Always be a student of the game. Always be learning. Always be growing, and that is what's going to help. Jordan Eberle over the summer took a different approach to his training, and he's like, I want to get faster. I want to get stronger. So instead of just doing his normal workout, everything was based on speed. Like, these guys have a purpose and a plan, and I think it's going to start to show here pretty soon. Now, we got a couple home games. We got one on Thursday. That's going to be a really good test. Can we get off this road trip and can we start executing these plays that we've been drawing up? All camp and for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. What about Cap? How about Captain Dan?
What about Cap? This is all you. What
we've called for a captain for years, so I'm happy they finally did it. And I think we called it.
Are you happy with Eberle?
Well, who called it? Somebody said Eberle when we did our guesses back in the day. One of us had to have said Eberle. It's a natural choice.
Is he pointing to himself?
Did you call that one?
I mean, I've always been on the Eberle trade. The first real game that I noticed Eberle was when he scored the hat trick against the Buffalo Sabres, and it was early on in the first year. And from then on, I was like, Eberle is going to be the guy. He's going to be the face. And it took a while, but he's always been that guy in the background, and he's pretty shy. But behind closed doors in the locker room, he's vocal. He takes his role as captain very seriously, and he's done, I think. He's done stuff to elevate his game and then to be the leader on the ice. I mean, he's popped in a few goals. He's had some good hits. He's put himself positionally to stop the, you know, to backcheck, forecheck, that kind of stuff that these young guys are going to look towards. And then again, with having the leadership team and Matty Beniers being there, and these guys work so well together, it's only going to pay off for both of them as they go back and forth. I think this started last year with these guys together, and I think Dan is a great choice for captain.
He's leading the team.
I think
he just
embodies what it is in Seattle. He loves being here, loves the community, and he's in it.
I think it was destiny from the moment he got here. Then he, you know, chose to stay, and then, I mean, he shows it on the ice. He's an old man, but he's leading the team in goals. And I think, you know, he's the vet. He's the leader. I think it just makes sense, right? He endeared himself to the city right away with the hat trick. You know, he's Mr. Kraken so far. And so he was the natural choice at captain. And I think a good choice by Coach Dan and the staff to just name a captain and do that rather than, you know, whatever happened with Hacken at the beginning with Giordano and then him leaving and then them not replacing. I mean, the whole thing was just so silly. So I think starting it out fresh and having somebody in that captain spot is very important and hopefully will pay off as the season goes on. But what about other players, man? I mean, this season for me, it's a season of having to step up, I think, for a lot of these guys. You got Schwartz, who's still here. You got Alexiak, who's still here from the beginning. Larson, obviously, is going to still be here. Matty Beniers, come on, bro. McCann, who signed the deal, what was that, last year? Vince Dunn still here. Yep. Borgen, yep. Tanev. I mean, a lot of these are really original guys are still here, and they're being joined by the new guys, right? So we got the new team, and we get that. But what I'm saying is these guys are the original guys. What do they got to do this year, man?
So that's what I was trying to get at earlier. It's go time for everybody. It's, you know, whatever.
Do they know that though? Do you think they feel that?
I think they probably had a couple hard conversations in the off season, and then you bring in a new coaching staff, and everybody's trying out for their jobs again. I don't think the new coaches care that you've been here for 3 or 4 years and you were an original Kraken. I don't think they care. They're being tasked to win. There's a reason why they got rid of the old coaching staff. It didn't work. Throw it out the window. So, you know, if you have a guy that's been on the team for a while and it's not working, they're going to look to trade you. They're going to look to, I think they're going to look to make it work first.
Yeah.
We want this core group to be here because you don't draft everybody from the expansion draft and carry them through three, you know, okay seasons. Yeah. We made the playoffs 1 year and had a couple of mediocre years, but we weren't that far off. That's the catch. We weren't that far off from being really, really successful. This is the core group. You bring in other guys. I mean, we got, something that really impressed me was Montour. He's coming in from a Stanley Cup champion team, and he comes in. The other guys are going to look to him going, all right, they bring somebody, he's going to be successful right away. My job is on the line.
Yeah.
And I think the players can feel that. They're professionals.
Yeah. Right? Stevenson. You like him so far?
Mustache?
What's that?
Absolutely. Have you seen his mustache?
Yeah.
Great stash.
Yeah. The stash plays.
I was trying to come up with a nickname for him, like the stash or something like that. So we'll workshop that.
We'll figure it out.
But again, if you are a player on the team and you're on the bubble and you know it, you're only going to work harder, or you're going to work just hard enough to not get cut, and you're eventually probably going to get traded or released. And we've got guys in Coachella that are chomping at the bit to get up here. We've got a lot of talent on this team. It is go time for this team to get done. I'm tired of, oh, we lost one. Oh, we'll get one. Well, we lost another one and it's okay. It's not okay anymore. Like,
right.
We have to play to the level that we know we're going to be playing at. That's the only way we're going to get into the playoffs and actually make a statement on this team and win back Seattle. I think a lot of it is lost. I don't think the home opener was officially sold out. I think the ownership group probably bought a couple thousand tickets to call it a sellout, but there was empty seats.
Yeah.
There should be never empty seats for a home opener like that.
Well, 1:30 and yes, there was hype. Tuesday.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, I remember getting pulled out of school for Mariner games for home openers, and because it was a 3 o'clock game and the tickets are so expensive. There wasn't anything like that. So we got to do everything we can as a group to make it accessible for everybody. But same idea. Like, it's go time to win and to get everybody back on track.
Yeah, Yanni Gourde too. I missed him in my sort of rundown of the guys who got to step it up. You know, I love Yanni, right? I love his game. I love his tenacity. But the production in terms of scoring, things like that, it's got to be there. You know, what I worry about, and it's not as if 4 games in we're saying get rid of any of these guys, use them as trade pieces or anything yet, obviously. It's such a young season. But the thing I worry about is if it starts to go like some of these other seasons have gone, I don't know if any other teams want to trade for some of these pieces. Like, these guys, they need to make themselves players that teams want to trade for. And if they do that, they won't have to get traded at all because the Kraken will be doing what we want the Kraken to be doing, you know?
100%.
Like, that'd be the worst thing ever is, like, not only are you on a team that is losing season after season, but, like, nobody's even trying to come get you because your production's so low. Let's go.
You know, this league is a lot of what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
But also, people are going to look back at your history. Hey, in the last 3 years, you've been this, you've been that, you've been shaky on the power play. That's why you're not on the power play. Like, you have to earn every single shift that you get.
Yeah.
And establish that history, that protocol right there. This is how I am, and this is the player I want to be. This is the perfect time to do that, though, because there's fresh eyes on everything. You can reinvent yourself again, kind of like Eberle has, and he's come out on fire. Like, pending he doesn't get hurt, he's going to have a hell of a year.
I think we're just from a different time, man. You know, like Cal Ripken Jr. setting the record for longevity and doesn't miss a game. And then Peyton Manning played all those games in a row. And Russ Wilson was trying to go after that record at one point, and probably to his detriment because he got hurt and kept playing on it and was never the same. But I think how we grew up was this, like, just you're always in there, you're gutting it out. You're going after a win no matter what. This whole thing of lose one, win one, that's okay as long as we sort of just squeak into the playoffs and then we can flip a switch. And I just think as a fan of professional sports, you can feel that vibe. And as a fan, it just doesn't give you the same feelings you used to have towards a team where you're like just really
yeah. –
I mean, man, I was head over heels in love with teams. And not just when I was a kid. I'm even just, you know, 7-8 years ago. The mentality was just different, I think, from the players all the way through organizations. And I feel like – I don't know. Like, are there any – you know, like the Patriots tried to go 19-0. You know what I mean? Is anyone trying to even do that anymore, or is it sort of just like you'll see players pull themselves out of games? Teams are on winning streaks, and they're like, "Oh, I just need a night off." You know, you would have never seen that. Michael Jordan would have walked over to you and pulled you on the court.
It's a different sport.
Different sport, different time. I think it's across all sports is what I'm saying. Like, you think the great one would have let you sit out a game if he was on a heater? I don't think so. And I think it would have been seen in a certain kind of way, you know? I mean,
I think if there's any sport that would be the opposite of that, it would be hockey. I think hockey players would take those sacrifices and sacrifice their body and stuff like that. But it's also a business, and you also want longevity in the game. And if you're playing hurt and you need that day to recover to play better the next day, I can.
I'm not asking for
as someone who
hurt.
Just broke their leg. The recovery is.
I don't want to come off sounding like I'm asking guys to play hurt. I'm saying like the mentality of. You would play hurt or you would do anything for a win. I just don't feel that across a lot of sports, and it's not just Seattle teams. And so I was also just trying to speak to the sort of the thing you were speaking to, the response goal, the response game, the like, it's okay, we drop one, let's go win the next one. What about teams that want to just win every game they play? No matter who's out there, I suppose, right? And you could just feel it from certain, you know, I don't know, man. You know, we'll see. We're only 4 games in. Let's not freak out yet. I think we're just kind of scarred from years past. We've got to give these new guys a chance, you know?
I'm really excited for next week's show because we're going to have a few more games in our belt.
Yeah.
And games at home. And,
yeah, you're
and
right.
Let's see how they take this road trip and turn around and execute at home.
Yeah.
If they are playing the way they played in Nashville, we're in for a fun season.
I think that this season, you know, if we wanted to get into sort of not predicting, because we don't want to do that on this show, but like where we think this team could go ultimately, I think this first season is not the season to be patient as a fan or as a team or as a coaching staff. Like, I don't care that it's a brand new coaching staff. They have experience coaching somewhere else with a lot of these yep. players. Like, I think because it's new, because it's fresh, you could go really far on that excitement and on that sort of positive energy and that sort of, you know, rejuvenation of something new. And so I don't want to be a fan who sits here and goes, you know, a 500 season and, you know, or, you know, making the first round of the playoffs or something is good enough. Like, I think, well, first of all, getting in the playoffs would be a success. We could stop there, actually.
100%.
Okay. We could stop there. Let's not get crazy. But I think having sort of a ho-hum, mediocre, let's wait and see, let's be patient season, I don't want to do that again. Like, I just want to know, look, the bounce of the puck could go either way, and maybe they end up losing some games they should have won and things like that. As long as you see on the ice the effort, the energy, the drive, the like the dedication where you can be falling in love with these guys, then I think you can let a lot of stuff go. But if all of it's sort of ho-hum, mediocre, sort of what it's been in the past, then no thank you. So I guess I'm speaking directly to Coach Dan. Like, let's get him fired up. Let's go. You know, let's get some real energy into this team in a sincere and genuine way that's not just, you know, sort of the glitz and whatever of, like you said, like the lasers and the, you know, pretty uniforms and stuff like that. Speaking of some bullshit that doesn't matter, how about they got rid of the Davy Jones hat and they brought in the belt? I mean, is this the new Jordan Eberle regime? And is that really the thing that'll fire up this hockey team? And then, I guess, Ryan, like, just, we're both old school, but is this shit necessary to fire up professional athletes?
No, it's not necessary. But everybody has been trashing that we got rid, everybody online at least, that we got rid of the hat. Like,
really?
It's not. Yeah. Oh, the second it was announced that the hat was gone and we brought back this belt, Twitter blew up with this is the worst decision. It doesn't matter. It's not for the fans. It's not for you guys. And it's for the players. And if this is something that they're working on as a mentality, a warrior mentality, the, you know, maybe there's a wrestler that, and again, this is something you could buy online and other teams have this same exact belt with their logo on it, but.
Oh, but it's a promotional item? No.
It's definitely something you can, it's like $500, you can buy it at the team shop. But.
Oh no, it's worse than the Davy Jones hat. I'm sorry, Ryan. You guys?
Yep.
Kraken Nation, Kraken family, release the show family. Hear me now, hear me forever. The Davy Jones hat was lame as shit, and I told you that at the time. It was a promotional item from Lord on High Bruckheimer from one of the movies he made one time to keep us remembering the movie he made that time or whatever. And, oh, we're the Kraken, so it's from the deep. And stop it, all right? It was already a bit on the nose. Now we've gone onto this belt, and I didn't even – you know, I didn't even put two and two together, Ryan. Like,
because
now that you mention it, I have seen these like commercials for any team that you can get. A Mariners one.
It has a WWE or F or whatever it is logo on the belt itself.
No,
so
it's all lame. They need to get rid of all of it. You know what they should do, Ryan? Whoever is the player of the game gets thrown a Keystone Light and he cracks it open, chugs it, smashes it on his forehead, spikes it on the ground and goes, "Let's go, boys."
There you go.
And then they go on to the next game. That's what I let's go. Hey, another win in our barn, boys. Smashes it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Again, back to being old school. We never really had the hard hat or the player of the game thing. You get the game puck and you get a little cheers and it's nice to nominate, you know, somebody, but I don't think that's the motivation. I think it's just part of today's NHL and it's what you do. But again, I don't care if it's a hat, a belt, a hard hat, whatever that team's thing is, if it's the trident for home runs, all that stuff is a gimmick. It just matters. What is the team itself going to get together and do that? So, hey, if it works for the team and you can actually hand off to somebody that you thought played really, really hard, And maybe there's a slush fund. Maybe you get a bonus with that we don't know about. I mean, that's worth playing for. You get a little extra beer money.
I don't even know if that's legal. You know what I would do, Ryan?
Yeah.
I print out the schedule, like the calendar schedule, you know, with like, it looks like a calendar, the squares on it, and it has the games on it. And then I would make the player go up and write a W or an L on it after the game. They'd get sick of writing the L pretty fast. They'd be happy every time they wrote the W. They just, I don't know what this, get rid of the trident too while I'm at it. Brace yourselves, Seattle. Get rid of the trident. Get rid of all of it. I want the team's identity to be, we came to kick your ass. And then we did that.
I've always said, act like you've scored a goal before.
Yeah.
Act like you've been there before. Act like you've been in the end zone before.
Yeah.
Business. This is, you go on the road trip, it's a business trip. You come in, you take care of business and you leave. And you don't need the extra stuff.
No, I know.
They're pros. But we just need something that the team can rally behind, and if it's a belt or whatever it is, I so be it. That's for them. It's not for the fans.
I'm telling
it's not
you
for
though,
us,
rally around winning games. Rally around the style of play. Rally around the fact that you knock someone's teeth out in the third period with that awesome check, or you took you blocked one of their slap shots, you know, and took it off the ribs and saved the game. Like have that be the identity of the team though, and not, you know, like, dude.
So,
Come on. Honestly, I coach Little League. I stopped giving out game balls a while ago. It's not all of a sudden, oh, Coach Brett's no fun. That sounds terrible. No. It's that instead of throwing one individual game ball out, it's, hey, let's gather around as a team and talk about all the good plays. Who had a good play today?
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about, oh, and I make the kids talk about other kids who had good plays. I go, don't tell me about your good plays. Which one of your teammates had a good play? And they raise their hand. Oh, this kid did this. This kid did that. And now we're talking about everybody as a team. It's like, yeah, you guys did. You had a great game as a team. Now here's your icy tickets. Go have fun at the snack shack. You know?
Yep.
Because this is wanting to get that individual game ball, you know?
No. This is one of my favorite topics because more than any other sport, hockey is such a team sport. When you walk into the dressing room before a game, the jersey is hanging on the stall, but it's facing the logo out, not the player out, because you're playing for the logo on the front. You're not playing for the name on the back, right? There's a game in Spokane where I was late to the bus. It was a away game, so I was late. The bus had to wait for me for 10 minutes. I got benched for the first period. I basically told the coach, fuck you, and I went and scored two goals that game.
Ah.
But we lost. We lost pretty bad. So when we got back, it was a 6-7 hour road trip back home. Oof. It was about 1:30, 2 in the morning. And there's a line from Youngblood who's like, don't hang them up, put them on. And we were skating in the dark, skating lines. But guess what? Because I was late, I sat on the bench and watched my team skate. So it's about the team. So I messed up. I got in trouble, but I sat there and I didn't have to skate. I watched everybody else skate. Guess what? I'm never going to do that again because that was against my teammates, right? So
yeah.
You play for your teammates and something like a Davy Jones hat. Yeah, you celebrate, you move on, and maybe they don't take too much stock in it, but I'd rather see something, again, like you're saying, celebrate the team win. Celebrate what you can be as a team and not those individual accomplishments. You're going to need that throughout the year. Eberle had, you know, he hit a milestone. Everyone's hitting milestones with goals and games played. That's great. Celebrate that. That's a big deal for the player. But
for sure.
But it should be about the team. At the end of the day, it's about the team. And I will never miss the bus again because I don't want to watch my guys looking at me going, "You suck for making me do this."
Well,
right? it's about the team.
Look, like if the owner is saying, "Hey, we're doing this thing, and you're gonna smile while you do it," I get why they do it. I think I'm also talking to the Kraken fans though, which is I want to see people get pissed off about something other than a hat from a movie. Let's get upset about things that affect wins and losses and the team, and let's put some passion behind that versus the trophy that the player gets to hold up afterwards. A lot of times what I see online from Kraken Nation is either celebrating really hard things that don't really matter on the ice or, you know, being upset really hard about things that don't really happen on the ice, like buoy. Remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk hockey. Right? Which is funny because that's the feedback we get from a lot of listeners. Let's talk more hockey. I think we are talking hockey. We want the hockey to be good. We want the team to be good. We want the record to be good. I think they have the coaching staff and some players in place to at least start this year off pretty good and put themselves in a pretty good position. But that remains to be seen.
Absolutely. I think our show in the past, we had no choice but to not talk hockey because it was pretty bad for some times, but we got to start holding them accountable. I mean, as a city, as a fan base, as a show, again, it's go time. That is my focus now for the end of the, it's go time. We need wins and we need to do it now.
Do you remember when you looked up one day and you realized that your 5-year high school graduation was that summer? And you were like, whoa, it's been 5 years already? Do you remember that, Ryan? And then you remember when your 10-year reunion came up, you're like, oh my God, like, who is this person in the mirror, right? Like, how did the time fly?
Yeah.
You guys, it's almost our 5-year in Climate Pledge. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is not a brand new, fresh-faced freshman who's going to get away with everything anymore, you know? So,
no,
time is now.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, we know better, right? We should know better.
Yeah.
And we should be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also don't, I remember the 10 years someone came up to me and was like, "Are you coming to the thing?" I'm like, "No, not really. I don't like you people." And then I realized, man, it's been 10 years already. That's crazy.
Oh my gosh. It's wild how fast time flies, man. You know, that means it's the fourth season of Release the Show as well. Because we've been here since the beginning. We've been here since before game one. Going all the way back. If you guys got thoughts, let us know. Hit us up on social media. It's at Release the Show. You can find us on the email at releasetheshow@gmail.com. releasetherants@gmail.com.
Release the rants.
It's all back up and running, everybody. Let's go.
Brett, you get the game puck today. Good job.
Thanks, dude.
Good work.
Thanks, man. You too.
Way to jump back in it.
No, you know what? Hey, it's a team game, man. I'm only as good as my line mates. So, you know what I'm going
to
do?
I'm looking forward to the year.
I'm going to rip this Davy Jones hat in half. Or no, sorry.
Hey, that's a
three ways. No, four. Chris. I mean, let's give Chris some credit, even though he's not here.
Chris gets a game puck. How's that?
Oh,
look at the teamwork. Look at the teamwork.
No, now we're giving undue credit. See?
Ah.
Can't do that. You know, we got to let him know that he's, you know, we need him to come back. You know, we can't just give him awards for not being here. He'll just stay home the whole time collecting the hardware.
All right, take that back.
You know, I've always wondered how that would feel, you know, like your team wins the championship, but like, let's say you were hurt all year or blew an ACL in training camp or something, you know, it's got to be a weird feeling, right? Because you're on the team.
You get your name on the cup.
Yeah, yeah. You get your name on there. You get a ring, but, you know.
If you're on the team and you didn't play the minimum time to get on the cup, that's what would piss me off. I've been there the whole time, been supporting the team, and I'm not on the cup. That would drive me nuts because you're that close to it. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Let's put Seattle on the cup, other than the Metropolitans.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it this year.
Yes.
Why not?
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See ya.
Do we suck?